I had to look at it for what it really is. I've been granted a perfect release from my alcoholism. Why then couldn't I, by the same means, be granted a perfect release from any other difficulty or defect that I possibly could have? That's the riddle of my existence. The riddle is that I want God to keep me sober. But I want to handle the rest of my life. I want to handle all of the women troubles and all of the home troubles and all the other troubles. You just help me keep sober, God. I'll take care of the rest. And this is true. This is real truth. This is a killer. And see, what I'm saying here now is that, see, I believe in Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe Alcoholics Anonymous. When I came here, that when my disease of alcoholism was treated, everything else was treated also. Now, I had to find out how this was done. This is something I had to find. It's in print. It says it, but I can't read it. I don't know how to read it. I don't know what it means. It says, but most of our other difficulties don't fall under such a category at all. Every normal person wants, for example, to eat, to reproduce, to be somebody in the society of his fellows, and he wishes to be reasonably safe and secure as he tries to attain these things. You see, it says, every normal person wants, for example, to eat. I had trouble eating, but I don't associate God with eating. I don't associate the program of recovery with eating. And yet it's telling me here, it's saying in here, if God can take care of my most devastating disease, why then couldn't he, by the same means, take care of any other difficulty or defect I possibly could have? And here it says he can. And it also says, to reproduce. What do you think reproducing means? To be somebody in a society of his fellows, prestige. But over on this side, over here, it says, since most of us were born with an abundance of natural desires, isn't it strange that we often let these far exceed their intended purpose? When they drive us blindly, or we willfully demand that they supply us with more satisfactions or pleasures that are possible or due us, that is the point which we depart from the degree of perfection that God wishes for us or for me here on earth. That is a measure of the character defects, or if you wish, of our sins. You see, everything and anything in Alcoholics Anonymous can be treated. The things that would bother me, the things that would upset me, the world that makes my life unmanageable, there's principles, there's a power here, there's a way of life here, and it's daily. But how many times and how long a period did I go and I thought I had to fight the world alone? I thought I had to do everything. I thought I had to make things happen. And I never could make things happen. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have any success in relationships. I just couldn't have it. I tore them apart. I tore every one of them apart. But I didn't know why. I didn't know how to act differently, think differently, be differently. But here in the program recovery, when it talks up at the top here, having been granted a perfect release from our alcoholism, why then couldn't we, by the same means, be granted a perfect release from any other difficulty or defect we possibly could have? We can. This is what has to be talked about. Because just to read that, I don't know if you get anything out of reading it. I never did. It just was a bunch of words and it sounded good and I agreed with it, but it didn't mean nothing to me. But I did want that life. I did want to have a relationship that was a good relationship. I wanted to be in the day I was in with a mind that was clean, clear, not mad, not angry. In all of this, what we're leading up to right now, in step six, you know what it says right away in the beginning of step six? It talks in here, it's on page 65, at 65, I believe. 65. It says in here, if we ask, God will certainly forgive our derelictions, but in no case does he render us white as snow and keep us that way without our cooperation. This is something we are supposed to be willing to work towards ourselves. This is where self-discipline comes in. Mm-hmm. He asks only that we try the best we know how to make progress in the building of the character. So step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, is AA's way of stating the best possible attitude one can take in order to make a beginning on this lifetime job. Can you imagine now? Here they're telling us on a lifetime job. Now, this is step six. Can you imagine this? You know, four said the same thing, and it's on page 50. Step four says, since step four is but the beginning of a lifetime practice, a beginning of a lifetime practice. These are principles, you see. I'm not just saying words now to show you that I know what the words are. The words are, this is the vocabulary that I was talking about before. This is something that's in my mind that helps me, guides me, directs me, powers me, keeps me going in the day I'm in. This is information that I need to have. I need to have what a lifetime practice means. What's a lifetime practice? It means every moment of every day. You see the principle of this, what I'm talking about, building a character. I can walk and talk in this day today with a lifetime practice, meaning I'm doing it today. I'm using the principles today for my life today. The principles are already established. They're in the character building. They're in the step. This has got to be looked at. It's got to be heard over and over and over. Because if you find yourself out there in the freeway, if you find yourself when your mind is starting to get angry, stop and think right away. What principle are you using that makes you get angry? Stop and think. Who's telling who how to get angry and when to get angry? Did God just go through telling you to get angry? You have to look at this. It's serious. It's a life and a death proposition. This is what I told you before about being a pallbearer. For alcoholics I worked with, very, very close, men and women. And they died. But they took their own lives. And they took their lives because of this here. It was never, never used in the day they were in. They might have heard it. Maybe they read it. But they didn't live it. To live it means exactly why you're here right now. To learn exactly what it is you have to live. What it is you have to do. It's your life. It's coming from you. You're not doing it for your neighbor. If you're not doing it for yourself, you're just not doing it. These were facts that I had to look at for myself. You know damn well I don't walk in water. But I don't deliberately walk in the day I'm in and choose to think thoughts that harms the world and harms me. There's no way I'll pay that price. I paid it too long, too many times, too long ago. And I'm not going to do it anymore. My Heavenly Father guarantees me all the time that no harm will come to me. He'll take care of me. This is an assurance now. If you notice in step six, to be entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character is a lifetime practice. That means that I don't care how long you've been here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't care how long I've been here. I'm still ready right now by principle to have God help me, to be with me, so that if the thought does come, it doesn't stay. So that if the defect of character might be looked at again, I don't have to energize it. I don't have to suffer from it. I don't have to use it. Step six has to be there in its fullest form to go from 7 to 12, because 7 to 12 is always about now living in Alcoholics Anonymous where your disease is being treated. 7 to 12. Excuse me, I get a bad throat somehow or another. In step six, we can review some of this. Step six, what I believe the main part about step six is the word to be entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. You see, the wording all, that's a principle. That's a truth. Everything I'm saying now, remember this, these aren't words just to say words. This is a textbook. This is telling me and showing me how to think and act, how to be guaranteed that if I'll do this, this will happen. I told you before, any page that you turn to in here in the 12 steps, I don't care what page it is. You just turn to it. I'll just flip to any page. I don't care. It says, although all inventories are alike in principle, the time factor does distinguish one from another. There's a spot check inventory taken at any time of the day whenever we find ourselves getting tangled up. There's the one we take at the day's end when we review the happenings of the hours just passed. You see, this is a direction. This is telling me what to do. This is showing me given me something that I can't supply by myself. There's just no way. There's no way I can do it. I can read this, I can memorize it, I can do many things with it. But when it comes time to use it as a way of life, it can't be. It must come from a power greater than self. It must be a principle that I'm using in application. Then I can do the things that it says here. I don't even need to know how to do them. All I have to do is do them. This is true for every one of us. If you don't think so, pick a page, any page. See what it says. See what it tells you. See what it means to you. See what it means in principle, not just words. You know, step seven is a step Step seven, I was in AA quite a while, some years. Okay, it's all right. I was in AA for some years, and another alcoholic got a hold of me, and he said, Bob, there's something missing in your life. He said, hear me out. He said, don't quarrel with what I got to say, just hear me out. He said, I want to talk to you about something. And he says, I want to talk to you about step seven. And he said that humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. I read it wrong. I read it that there's something in me that God's got to take out of me. This is what I thought it said. And I was living in that time I was living, that I thought all things were the same. I thought 4 and 7 were the same thing. I thought 4, 5, 6, and 7 was the same thing. And it's not. They're total. They're just like black is to white. They're totally opposite. And I never knew why, but he started me out. And when he started me out on a toothpick. He said, if there's a toothpick laying on the floor, especially in your own home, pick it up. And I asked him, why should I pick a toothpick up? He said, well, if you don't pick it up, somebody else will have to. And what he was telling me is that this world is full of people. It's full of a lot of other people besides me. It means exactly this, that shortcomings were things I should do that I don't do. Defects of character were things I do that I shouldn't do. Shortcomings were things I fell short of. They were things that were lacking. I was not producing. Shortcomings were things that I lacked. They were things I should do, and I didn't do them. I just didn't even know it. And so he started to explain to me and show me what that means. And then in step seven, the way step seven starts out, in the 70, page 70, it says, since this step so specifically concerns itself with humility, we should pause here to consider what humility is and what the practice of it can mean to us. Indeed, the attainment of greater humility is the foundation principle of each of AA's 12 steps. For without some degree of humility, no alcoholic can stay sober at all. Nearly all AA's have found, too, that unless they develop much more of this precious quality than may be required just for sobriety, they still haven't much chance of becoming truly happy. Without it, they cannot live to too much useful purpose, or in adversity, be able to summon the faith that can meet any emergency. You see, I didn't know. I had no idea what he was talking about because of the fact that I classified everything the same way. I classified things like defects of character are. But humility and humbleness was something I knew nothing of. Humility and humbleness is a character building principle. That I have to build this character based on a power greater than me, God, because it says this. It says it on 71, when it says in there that spiritual values and character building had to come first, that material satisfaction wasn't the final end and aim of life. So you see, I don't know what that means. I don't know because I started out in the beginning last night and I told you that I'm a taker. I'm a real taker. And I'll tell you this, you show me any alcoholic with alcoholism that isn't treated and I'll show you a taker. I will. It's really true. And the reason it's true, it has to be that way. And the reason it has to be that way is because of what the disease is. Never once did I ever think that I could do something different than I do. When I was talking to you before and I told you about these guys that would panhandle or gals that would panhandle me, and then I would give them something, and after I gave them something, I walked away and I felt better. I didn't know what that was. That was a shortcoming being fulfilled. I did something God wanted me to do, and he gave me a good feeling about it. But you see, now this is only a beginning right now. In step 7, to remove something, I thought it was something in me that had to go. Instead of that, it's the opposite. And what it talks about in the next page, it's on 72. It starts on the bottom of 71, and it says, true, most of us thought good character was desirable. But obviously, good character was something one needed to get on with the business of being self-satisfied. With a proper display of honesty and morality, we stand a better chance of getting what we really wanted. But whenever we had to choose between character and comfort, the character building was lost in the dust of our chase after what we thought was happiness. Seldom did we look at character building as something desirable in itself, something we would like to strive for, whether our instinctual needs were met or not. We never thought of making honesty, tolerance, and true love of man and God the daily basis of living. Step 7 is a step that is really a big, big step. It's a big step because it affects your life everywhere you go. It affects your life, I don't care where you go. You can go somewhere where you've never been, and it affects your life. You can go in a room crowded with people, in that dining room in there, and it affects your life in there. Everywhere you go, step 7 has to be there in your life as principle. This has got to be this way. If it isn't this way, then there's something going to be missing. And what's missing is talked about here. And this is all about why step 7 should be. I believe you should have meetings like we have meetings of nothing but step 7. Step 7 all the way, talking about it all the way. Because of what it is. Step 7 is very difficult. Step 7 is when you have to be a giver, not a taker. And you have to be a giver, a genuine giver, a giver that means it. This is what the principles do for you in step 7. Now, to be a giver, it's in many forms. It could be just holding the door open for somebody. It could be holding an elevator when the guy is maybe a mile down the corridor and you hold it open until he gets there. But you see, behind this is the character, where you're serving man and God by principle. This is all about now being a giver away from self. God gets credit, you don't. Anything and everything that I do, I have to praise my Lord for it. I have to thank him for it. Now this is something I do by principle. This is something I do all the time. Every one of you, whenever you thank me, I thank my Lord. I have to. The reason I have to is because the principle of living with God gets the credit. It's by his grace, certainly not mine. But you see the character changing that's happening. There's a character being built. And the character is being built away from self. Self wants, self needs, self pleasures, self everything. You just name it. But you have to go farther than that because of the fact of what it is. There's a lot of people around. There's some people around that maybe I don't like. But I'm going to have to treat that person the same way I treat the person I like. There cannot be anything different. These are principles. Now what I'm talking about, maybe you're not interested in it. Maybe you think it's not needed. Maybe you think it's too hard or it's a baloney. Believe me, I know for sure if you would try the best that you got in you in the day you're in, to do that day with God, you'll see a day you've never seen before. You'll have things happen to you. You'll have a mind function that never was there before. You will feel secure in your own being, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, whatever's happening, doesn't make no difference. There's so much in step 7 that you can keep talking about, because even over here, you know, when it talks in here on page 73, it says, so it is that we first see humility as a necessity, but this is the barest beginning. To get completely away from our aversion to the idea of being humble to gain a vision of humility as the avenue to true freedom of the human spirit, to be willing to work for humility as something to be desired for itself, takes most of us a long time. A whole lifetime geared to self-centeredness cannot be set in reverse all at once. Rebellion dogs are every step at first. But you see what it's talking about now? It's talking about something that's going to happen to me as I live my life. As I live this life, I found out that every little bit I give, I get a little bit back. And check your record out and see if they ain't true. But every time I give something more, I get more back. I used to be scared of this a long time ago because I thought it meant if you give $5 to somebody, you're $5 short. It doesn't mean that at all. It could be money, but it could be a lot of other things too. But the other things come from a character, a true character, a genuine character, a character that wants to give, not a character that has to give, not a character that's given because it's got strings attached to it. This is something now that when you transmit that character, because God says, you stay with me, and I'll tell you how to think and act. And this is what this is all about right now. This is all about this 12-step reprogram recovery. This is always about a power greater than any human power. This is all about principles, spiritual inner nature, that are already established. Can you believe that everything that you could possibly need for the rest of your life as an alcoholic with alcoholism is only in 12 steps? That's unbelievable. It was for me. To think that you could take this book here, that I could take this book here. I've gone over 42 and a half years now. Now you think for 1 minute when I started any of this or when I started to receive any of this that I was thinking in terms of 42 years later? No way. Just impossible. But you see, everything grows. The quality. The reason the quality is because the quality of your life is backed up by a power that's not you. It's backed up by principles that you don't supply. It's already established for every one of us to have the life that we should have. It's in the program recovery. We've got a chance this weekend. We've got 3 days, we got Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Why not use whatever that is you can use? Why not try the best that you can try to see if this is something that you want? See if it's there. It's there, I'll guarantee it. But to have it, you must use it. To use it means exactly that. This is a way of life today. Because, you know, we've been a long way already. We're already in step seven. Step seven goes farther. In the end of step seven, I'd like to say the end of it only because we read it. We read it. It's on page 76 at the bottom. And it's the same thing we read on page 64. It says, the seventh step is where we make the change in our attitude, which permits us with humility as our guide to move out of ourselves towards others and towards God. The whole emphasis on step seven is on humility. It is really saying to us that we now ought to be willing to try humility in seeking the removal of our other shortcomings, just as we did when we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If that degree of humility could enable us to find the grace by which such a deadly obsession could be banished, then there must be hope of the same result respecting any other problem we could possibly have. Can you imagine? Now, they said that on page 64, same thing. Here it is in page 76, and it's saying the same thing again. So that each one of us, now, it didn't repeat it because you didn't read it before. It's repeated for principles. It's repeated so that you will know, like I will know, that I can have exactly what it says there. That this here Heavenly Father took care of my most devastating weakness, but he can take care of everything else that's wrong with me too. If he could treat my alcoholism, why can't he treat everything else that's in my life? He can. And that's what it's all about. That's why when you come to this meeting or any other meeting, when you leave there, maybe you leave there with one thought. How about leaving there with a whole book full of thoughts? Because they're principles. They're already established. They're already there to use. In character building, as you build this character we're talking about right now, this is the character you live with. This isn't a character for next week. This isn't yesterday's character. This is today's character. Everything that I've said so far, including last night, is all about today's life today. Finding a way of life where drinking is not necessary. Finding a way of life where the world that you live in is the world you want to live in. It's in God's terms, not life's terms. We can go for some questions about this if you want before we go into the next. We got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is there anything? I'll tell you what, step 7 is an endless step. That's an endless step. I've been talking about that, and I still haven't talked about all of it because of what it is. It's a daily function. Try to remember step 7 if you can, so it doesn't get shoved aside because it seems like it's pretty difficult or pretty hard. Michelle?
This example, taking up a toothpick. Could you go a little farther than that? I mean, I'm like stuck picking up trash. That's the truth. Uh-huh. I mean, because that's what I see. That's all I see. I've heard you say that. I don't see more than that.
Uh-huh.
Just go a little farther than that.
Okay. Sure. Yes, I was at a meeting one night. It was late. It was in Colorado, snowing. And the meeting was almost over with, and the phone rings. It was my wife on the phone, and she told me to bring home some milk. I have two daughters. So here it is, 10 o'clock at night. The meeting's ending. It's snowing outside. I got to stop and pick up some milk. Why didn't she do it? She was home all damn day. She could have went to the store any time. So I went, and I stopped, and I got the milk. And I brought it home. But I brought it home under protest. I brought it home and set it down as one I didn't break it because of what my mind was telling me. You see, to be a giver, shortcomings were things I should do, I don't do. I fall short of the mark. If I don't look for things to do, if I'm not the man that God says I'll be, I'll still be selfish self. I'll still take care of me and only me. I'll still not hold the door open for you. I'll still do a lot of things with only me in thought and me in mind, just me. Shortcomings are exactly what they say. You're falling short of the mark. There's something there that should be done that you're not doing it. How many times have you ever done something or didn't do something and you seen it and somebody else seen it and they did it before you and you felt like hell because they did it and you didn't? I used to find that all the time. That's a shortcoming. That won't get me drunk. That isn't like a defect of character at all, not a bit. It's a performance that I must give. You see, the closer I get to God, the closer I get to man. It said, serving man and God. The closer I do that, the more I do, I find myself being more considerate, more kind. I find myself considering other people that maybe are strangers, maybe they're not. But it has to be looked at for what it is. It's my mind, and it's my life. It's what goes on inside of me. How well am I? How well do I feel about my thoughts, my actions? Step 7, there's a lot more to go in, and it's in print. But this alone, like it talks about, I used to use God as a bush league pinch hitter. That's in step 7. That's on page 75. It says, then in AA, we looked and listened. Everywhere we saw failure and misery transformed by humility into priceless assets. We heard story after story how humility had brought strength out of weakness. In every case, pain had been the price of admission into a new life. But this admission price had purchased more than what we expected. It brought a measure of humility, which we soon discovered to be a healer of pain. We began to fear pain less and desire humility more than ever. During this process of learning more about humility, the most profound result of all was a change in our attitude toward God. And all this was true, whether we had been believers or unbelievers. We began to get over the idea that the higher power was sort of a bush league pinch hitter to be called upon only in an emergency. The notion that we would still live our own lives, God helping, a little now and then began to evaporate. Many of us who had thought ourselves religious awoke to the limitations of this attitude. Refusing to place God first, we had deprived ourselves of his help. But now the words, I of myself am nothing, the Father doeth the works, began to carry bright promise and meaning. These are principles. This is principles that I learned years ago. These are principles that I live by. This has to be this way. If it isn't this way, what way could it possibly be? I would go to selfish self. I would just walk in this day, never once ever looking left or right to see if anybody else was in this world. I'm self-centered. I'm selfish. These were things that I didn't know about me, that I thought I was a kind person because I smiled, I joked or something. No, I'm not. The true me inside of me, you wouldn't want to know me, because I'll show you that someday, and I don't want to be like that no more. This is why I talked the way I did. I lived a hard world, a dirty world. I lived it drunk and I lived it sober. Then I found out that there's a way in Alcoholics Anonymous. And this way is for all of us. It's no more than a program recovery of 12 steps with God, living today by the principles so that the disease is treated today. This isn't something for the future. How could it be? You know, step 8, it's 2:40. Let's see, how long have we been at it?
An hour and 40 minutes.
Does anybody want to stop for 5 minutes or so?
Can we stretch?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, because we got to hurry. We got to do all these steps yet.
Okay.
So we're going to go.
Okay, guys, we're starting.
So we're gonna start in step 8. In step 8 it says, I made a list of all persons that had harmed me and became willing to make amends to them all. Now, 8 and 9, there's a lot to cover, but I don't think that there's a lot to cover to talk about. We'll talk about it. And so some of the things that I'm going to say, I found out to myself that these were things that I needed to know so that made a list of all persons I had harmed. I already have a list started from step 4. A lot of people that were put in 4 will be in 8 also. And so the way I could look at life, or the way life was when I first did the inventory and that, is that to make a list of all persons I have harmed would mean almost anybody I came in contact with because of the drunken life I lived and what I was doing and how I was doing it. But it wasn't so much that, it was that I had to find out exactly what do they mean by when they say made a list of all persons I had harmed. Now, I found a lot of action, a lot of thoughts that came out of step 4. But the important part, like in your book now, on page 80 and 81, I'd like to be able to point some things out because of what it is. And what it says down on page 80, it says, we might next ask ourselves what we mean when we say that we've harmed other people. What kind of harm do people do one another anyway? To define the word harm in a practical way, we might call it the result of instincts and collision, which cause physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual damage to people. Now, that's the kind of harm that I thought they were talking about, because I could see no purpose of this step myself, because I did not know or I didn't realize there's more to do in the day I'm in principle of the character that I am. So when it ends there on page 80, now, where I had to go and where it was necessary for me to go was in page 81. It says, such gross misbehavior is not by any means a full catalog of harms we do. Let us think of some of the subtler ones which would sometimes be quite as damaging. Suppose that in our family lives we happen to be miserly, irresponsible, callous, cold. Suppose that we are irritable, critical, impatient, humorless. Suppose we lavish attention upon one member of the family and neglect the others. What happens when we try to dominate the whole family, either by rule of iron or by constant outpouring of minute directions for just how their lives should be lived from hour to hour? What happens when we wallow in depression, self-pity oozing from every pore, and inflict upon those about us such a roster of harm done to others, the kind that makes daily living with us as practicing alcoholics difficult and often unbearable? They could be extended almost indefinitely. When we take such personality traits as these into shop, office, and society of our fellows, they can do damage almost to the extensive extensive as that we have caused at home. Now, these were the harms that I didn't know about. These were the harms that I had to find out myself about. Now, the harms that I knew were always the obvious harms of where I smashed cars or somebody else's property, or I stole from them, or I used and abused somebody and got away with murder with them and stuff. But I didn't know about any other kind of harm. And the kind of harm is what I was just reading about. Because of my mood, I have mood swings. I have a mind that when it's upset, it's an angry mind, and it just hates everybody. And my closest friend, the one I love the most, I'll hurt that first rather than something else. So to make a list of all persons I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, as soon as I found out that the kind of harms that I did when I was living, the situations where I took advantage of my sister or my father even and stuff like that, is I had to learn that these were the things that I had to do something about. So to make a list of all these people, I could put a lot of people down, but I didn't know what to say to them. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know why to do it even, in fact. And so to have this here principles or this character building, to make a list of all these people that I have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, to willing to make amends is a same thing now again. Now, I've been talking now about a vocabulary. I've been talking about words. I've been talking about principles, about how things now, they're in my mind. Now, I don't know how much of this you retain or you use as far as words. I don't know if these words go into your mind at all even. And like with me, they do. They stay with me all the time. They use it because they guide me, they direct me, they power me. And words, like I said before, words like willingness. Willingness is a state of mind that my whole life I'm willing, right now, willing. I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to do with no holdback. I'll give it my best shot, whatever my best shot is. I'll give it 100% of what I got, whatever that is. You see, so these things now, start looking at these steps and try to remember that as you are reading these steps or talking about them or recognizing them, these are things that are go into your mind. They go in there for a reason, because if they don't, you'll get where I was. One time, my life wasn't important to me. My living was. My living was very important to me. In other words, making money, buying things, boats, motorhomes, motorcycles, having things. See, that was living, and I didn't know it. But my life was not important. My life is what I am inside. It's the way I look so that I can be free of the past, and I don't have to create another future by living today like I lived in the past. So see, in step, to be willing, see, to be willing is a state of mind that I'm willing, it's a principle. I learned a long time ago, I should have talked about a couple of other ones. The word alcoholism, we talked a great deal about it. That's a word. But it's more than a word. It's a state of living. It's an ongoing life. Surrender, as I started to talk about last night, I didn't finish it. I said surrender. I thought I knew surrender. Surrender, I thought I knew because I did a lot of trouble. I got a lot of trouble. Surrender is when you quit. That's not surrender in Alcoholics Anonymous. Not in my book it isn't. Surrender is an ending of the old me, but it's a beginning of the new me. So you see, surrender isn't quitting. Because if I quit, what's there? There's nothing there but a void. Nothing. But there's an ending of me, the ending of the disease of alcoholism, the end of my mind controlling me. But there must be something following that. Because when I quit that, where will I go? So where I go, I'm building a new character. It's a beginning. It's not an ending. But you see, I thought I knew a great deal about a lot of words. I started looking words up in the dictionary. And as I looked these words up, I found more meanings. I found more application where I thought I knew something so well, and I didn't know it. I didn't know that one word could have 100 meanings maybe, or 10 meanings, or one meaning, until I got interested in my life. The quality of my life. It has to be that way. So you see, and now this step here, What I think is so very important is what was read about these harms that's on page 81. Because I think that every one of us know what harm is to somebody else, regardless if it's physical harm, stealing their money, cheating on them, doing anything at all. I think we all know how to do that. And I think every one of them harms are recognized as harms. But how about the other harms that are here? How about not saying hello to somebody? Did you ever come into Alcoholics Anonymous and you come to a meeting and you see somebody standing over there by themselves? And there's somebody over here you know, you go over there and talk to that person over there because you know them, but this person over here you don't talk to. Did you ever think about that? I used to have to think about that all the time. Be up in Roxbury on a Wednesday at the Stag. There used to be guys around all the time by the tree, by the door, and they're always single by themselves. But I made sure I went up to each one of them, and I made sure that I said something to them so that at least that much for me contributing to the world that I live in. It had to be this way. In fact, you know, I can tell you a story as funny as it can be. It's about the same thing that I'm talking about now. There used to be a guy up at Roxbury on a Wednesday night Stag meeting, and he always stood by the door, and he had his arms folded, you know, and he was like this all the time, see. So I found out his name. So his name was Art. So I went up to him one night, and he's standing there, and I said to him, I said, "Hi, Art, how's the world treating you?" And he looked at me and he said, "The world don't treat me. I pay my way every bit of the way." And then he went away like that. See? And I thought, man, I got his number well. So a little while later, I see him standing over there by himself over there, you know. So I went back over there and I said, "Hi, Art, how's the world treating you?" He said, "The world don't treat me. I pay my way every way, you know." So then I got a hold of a couple of other guys up there, and I said, "Go up there and ask Art, and call him by name, and ask him how the world treats him." So Jose was one of them. He went up there and said it to him. And then Walter, he was another one. He went up there and said hello to him. And then the next thing you know, he looked at me, and he started smiling. He said, "You're doing that on purpose, aren't you?" You know who he is? He's one of the best guys in the world. That's Art Benjamin, you know. My gosh, he does more in AA than Man the Moon. You know, he's about 85 years old now, too, you know. But it'll show you, though, see, the difference in about how you can act and how you can affect people in lives. And the principles of the steps, you know, they're there to use, they're there, they'll guarantee you a way of life that's really beautiful, it really is. So I don't see myself now in 8 and 9, I don't think neither one of them are great big steps that you have to talk for hours on or anything else. I did have to make a list. I made a list of all the people I had harmed, and I became willing to make amends to them all. I went back east, I made the amends to my mother, to my father, and my sister, and that. And I made amends to everyone but one. I didn't make amends to my wife. Never once did I ever say to her anything at all about making amends, about the yesterdays, about the harms, the hurts. Never once. And I have no excuse whatsoever. And she got sick on a Thursday, and she died on a Sunday morning. And so then I had to take the flowers to the grave instead of giving them to her. So you see, for any of you today, this day, if there's somebody in your life, tell them you love them today. Give them the flowers today. This kind of harm that they're talking about, I believe each one of us, I think that each one of us have a record of our own that we can do ourselves as far as making amends. To make a list of all the persons who I've harmed, that wasn't very hard to do. And to make the amends, I had to learn how to make amends, to make direct amends to such people, except when to do so would harm them, would injure them or others. And I had to make amends. I flew back east to my father, and I had to make amends to him. And as I started to make amends to him, he told me, "No, you don't have to make amends. just stay with those people you're with. And he wouldn't say who they were, you know. And I told him, no, that's not good enough. I said, I'm going to have to tell you exactly what happened and what went on and how sorry I was that it took place and when it did take place and what I did. And I explained to him that at that time that I was drunk, that I was out of my mind, that I was very sorry that I did what I did, but I can't recall it. But at least I can apologize to you about it. And that was the end of that one. And that was the hardest one of all to do for me, because I beat my old man up. I beat him up bad. And when I did that, I suffered from it later, even drunk and then sober. But when the time came to tell him about it, it did exactly what it's supposed to do. It removed it from my mind as hurt. It removed it from a memory that would make me feel sick about it. See, so for each one of us, you have to make your own list. And how you explain it or how you do it, I don't know. But I do know for one thing for sure, that a lot of people don't want you to say words to them because of the fact of what they are. But yet, though, I believe you must say them. I believe you must do this, because this is clearing away the wreckage of the past. This is telling somebody that whenever it happened, that it happened because of the circumstances or the condition of me when I was drunk, when I was totally out of my mind, that I would do anything to anybody, and then I'd have to make it up somehow or another. But I was apologizing for something that I did to him that I had no excuse over. I couldn't say I was drunk and I did it because I was drunk. I did it because I did it, and I wanted forgiveness from him, and that was all that was necessary. He gave me that forgiveness. See? So for each and every one of us, step 8 and 9, I don't think step 8 and 9 is that hard to do. I know that there's a lot of times that maybe somebody's in your life and it's in question whether you should or shouldn't do it, but I don't believe that the steps alone will make sure it's clear enough. I think that step 8, when I made a list of all the persons I had harmed, I put down exactly what it says in here, that I put down how I treated them, mistreated them, how I took advantage of them, how I stole from them. I stole from my mother. I took money. I did many things. And I acknowledged these things, and I paid back these things if I could, if it was possible at the time. But the willingness to do this, though, was the willingness, so the principle of the character that I am, I don't live like that no more. I don't think like that no more. I'm not capable of doing that anymore. This is the character building in the day I'm in. This is why the step 8 and 9 are together. This is why they follow 6 and 7. This is why they're in the recovery program. If you stop and think about it, take a look at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's always about living in the day you're in, this day, today, so that this day you can have the life where your disease is being treated. It's being treated by principles, by application, by the person that you represent, the person that you are, not the person you used to be, not the person that sometimes you want to be, but the person you are by principles. These principles have to be talked about, I believe, and kept talked about, because when you leave here, you might do what I did, the same thing. You go out there and you start figuring the whole picture out again. You're liable to start thinking in terms that this is necessary, that he's wrong, she's wrong, they're up to their old tricks. Show them what it's all about. You see, I have a mind just like that, but I don't use it. It's still there. And the reason it's there is because it's me. It's the same mind that I started talking about last night when I was talking about the disease of alcoholism. It's about a function of a mind. You see, in these steps, can you imagine that these steps, there's 12 of them. How could 12 steps take each and every one of us, regardless of who we are, no matter where you're at, no matter if you're male or female, rich or poor, dumb or smart, they're all there for the same reason, and they're there and they do the same thing for each and every one of us. They allow us to build a character. The character that we're building now isn't a character of a reference from the past. It's not a character that has been harmed and hurt so that you can't make it today because you've been injured too bad. I learned to live in the day I'm in. My happiness is in today. My whole world that I live in is today. Today, this day. And you know darn well that I've had many, many, many days and weeks and years of true love and happiness, of kindness, goodness. But you see, even them, I can't draw from it. I can't put it in today's life because today's life is too tough. I'll reach into tomorrow or yesterday and I'll do something different. The program recovery, the hardest thing to keep talking about is living the character today. Today means now, by principles, now, that I'm going to live with God now, that all of these steps become a method of living, a way of life. Because you can't remember these steps. You can't remember when to apply a certain thing. But the character can act like that because the character is that, by principle. Man, this is terrific. This is good news. This is something I know that religion has been trying to do for many years and still hasn't done it. I mean, I'm not picking on religion, but I'm saying that we have something here. We have two things here. We have the method, meaning the 12-step application by principles. We have the power, meaning God. Together, all things are possible. Today, I can live today different than I've ever lived before because I never lived this life before. I'm living this life now because it is now. Can you imagine that? Before, I always lived in yesterday's memories. You lived in yesterday's success, happiness, yesterday's pleasures, anything, you name it. Today can be the most wonderful day you ever had in your life. It's possible. Because when it happened to me, I would think that no day could ever, ever meet this day. The next day would come and beat this day all the heck. Greater things, better things, more of everything. It's all was there, same story. 8 and 9, if there's something we need to talk about, maybe in question or something like that, we'll go into step 10, and maybe possibly we'll even get some questions in. Is there anything first in 8 or 9 that was maybe not clear enough or said enough where you can, that you might want to know how to do it? Yeah, Kelly. How do you do what?
How do you make financial amends to people or begin to make financial amends to people when you really don't have very much money?
That's always in it. That's explained too. The willingness is what's necessary. And through the willingness, something can be done. Now, maybe you can do it in payments. Maybe you can do it by working for someone, doing some kind of work that you do that maybe that in turn might take care of some of it. But there's always a way if you're willing to do this. See? And as far as owing money, man, I'll tell you, I didn't owe too much. I owed enough. And I owed IRS and everybody else. But believe me, I've been with some guys that owe some big money, some real money. I often wonder how could you pay $500,000? That's more money than I ever could even count. But it's there. We're all there in that. It doesn't make any difference who you are, Kelly. Every one of these steps, every one is possible to do. Every one is there so that you have a life today that's guaranteed today. You might not see it that way. You might think in terms that maybe you owe some money that you can't pay back and you're going to be in trouble over it and stuff like that. But you see, all of this here, still, there is a way. I don't know. You and I can talk about this later if you want to specifically. And see what it is and what we can do about it. Yeah.
I had a similar situation in making an amends to my dad, and he wouldn't let me say what I wanted to say.
Right.
He knew what I was trying to say, but he stopped me, and he just, in a similar situation, just told me to keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
I would.
Yeah, the reason I would is because, you see, the program recovery is a program recovery of you. And you got to look at it this way. And to make amends, like my father didn't, he just wouldn't let me say it either, but I told him, it's got to be this way. I'm doing it because I need to do it. See, I have to do it. I had to be free, not because he said don't worry about it or anything else like that. It was still in me, and I had to talk about it, and I had to tell him and show him that what I did at that time, I was very sorry about it. It happened, and I want to make it up to you. I want to do something to show you that I did something I shouldn't do, and this here was going to allow me to live on so that I don't have to remember something. Sure I would. You bet I would. I'd send him down and make him listen, just like I did my father. So... I didn't hear it all. Or
to make amends to somebody who died.
Somebody who died. You know, a lot of, you know, I don't really know what to tell you there other than what I've been told or what I know. But I'll tell you this. There was no way that I could go over to the graveyard up there in Oakdale in Chatsworth and write a letter and put it on my wife's grave on her headstone. No way. Because of the fact of, I knew exactly who I was. I knew what I did, and I know how I did it and everything about it. The only forgiveness that I took me 2 years, and the only forgiveness that I got was the fact that I could be with God and not do that again, not live like that again, not hurt people, and not use people. Because of the fact, I told you, if there's somebody in your life today that's special, why don't you tell them today about it? Why don't you give that person flowers? Why don't you do it today? Life is real short. But if you don't want to, you don't need to. It's up to you. I wish that there's many, many times. I spent two years. That 2 years, every time I heard high heels going down a corridor, you know what my mind said? Maybe it's her. Maybe I can make it now. Everywhere I went, I had that. It was right in front of my face all the time. And it just went that way until the time came. When it came only through the grace of God. And so that now I put flowers on the grave, but that's a different way of putting them. Before, when I used to cut grass in my backyard, I had a beautiful lawn, front and backyard, and I'd cut the grass, and I'd say, what the hell kind of world is this? Here's the beautiful grass right here. I'm looking at the grass, and she's looking at the roots. That's the way my mind thought. My mind was always tormenting me because of the things that I should have done, and I didn't do it. Each one of us right now, you must have somebody in your life that you care for. Do they know it? I don't know. But it's important. If your life's important to you, stop and think about this. Stop and think about these principles, what we're saying, what we're talking about. Take a look at now. We're going to come into step 10. Yeah.
I have the wreckage from the past that were things like that where to make amends really would hurt both those people and other people around them. And something of what you're talking about I've heard referred to as living amends, which is where I guess what I've done about that is to see where people need something and do what I can to bring that, to make that happen for them.
Mm-hmm.
Something that they want, that I see that there's a role that I can play and just do it, not say anything and just do it, to make it possible to let them be happy.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And is that kind of what you're getting
sure,
at?
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Positively. It's recognition of today of people that are in your life. And these could be strangers or they could be people close by too. It doesn't make any difference, you know. It's something, even a smile, anything at all, everything that I'm talking about is part of what the character represents in the day I'm in. How well my mind thinks, how well my mind really is, not what I tell you it is, but what's really in me. That's what counts. This world that I'm talking about is a world that God says I can have this because he'll let me have it. He'll give me everything I need in the day I'm in. But first, I must do the application of the steps to build the character. That's why the steps are in the order form. That's why step 2 is so important. Because to have something in my life besides me, I had to learn how to do that. If I didn't know step two, there's no way that I could make a decision to turn my will and life over to care of God. How could I do that? You see, all of this, what I'm talking about now, is a way of life by principles, application, now, today, this day. You can't, when you leave this room, you can't give yourself a legitimate excuse to carry one thought of anger if the program recovery is what you want in your life. If you want your alcoholism treated, you're going to make sure that this here life that we're talking about, the principles, are there. If you make a mistake, they can be corrected. We haven't got there, but they'll be there too. So no matter who you are today, no matter how big a goof you make or none, it doesn't make any difference. Your eyes, in the eyes of God, you still are going to be all right. He's still going to take care of you. You allowed him to come into your heart, you'll never be able to get him out of there. You know, in step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. Now, step 10 is another step. This step is another step that's well, all steps are important. They're all big, but some play a bigger role when you're in your life as you start to build this character, because it seems like it has more impact. It seems like it's more pronounced, or it's needed more often than the other step was, or something like that. At least that's the way I think, anyway. And so, to continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. The basic thing I had to learn right away is promptly admit it. Admit it to who? And what does promptly mean? So you see, there is, it talks in here, and it talks that all inventories are alike in principle. But you see, this inventory is not a four-step inventory. Although it's there so that the defects of character, if they come, old or new, there's still a way right here. And I think the most important thing about step 10 is that I can start this day out today. Say I started this day out today at whatever time. Maybe I went down the line an hour from now and I got maybe in a big beef with somebody on a freeway or something like that. So you see, there is something to do here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, ordinarily, I would have to take that to work with me. I'd have to talk about it all day long. I'd have to tell everybody that would listen to me what this guy did or what happened and something like that. I'd have to go home that night, and I'd have to put it to bed with me because it's still there, and I'd probably relive it, re-experience it. And step 10 is a different step entirely. It's entirely different. Now, step 10, on page 90, it talks in 90, on 10, and this is important. It says, it is a spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. If somebody hurts us, are we sore? We are in the wrong also. But are there no exceptions to the rule? What about justifiable anger? If somebody cheats us, aren't we entitled to be mad? Can't we properly be angry with self-righteous folk? For us of AA, these are dangerous exceptions. We have found that justified anger ought to be left to those better qualified to handle it. It says it matter little whether or not, or whether our resentments were